water baptism is one of some 12 different baptisms found in the Bible? Little wonder there is such confusion in the minds of even sincere people over what water baptism is all about. On today's program, we will be looking into what the Bible has to say about water baptism. So stay tuned for this edition of the Message of Grace.
The Message of Grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, President of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you joined us today for another time in the Word of God or the Message of Grace. We want to look at the topic of baptism today. Someone's called baptism religious TNT, and indeed it is, for it's an explosive topic in the circles of religion. Not just the Christian religion, for almost every religion in the world has a baptismal rite of some kind. And you know, one thing to be controversial, but it's an odd topic for controversy when you come to the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 is a passage of Scripture that very few people ever consider when they consider the topic of baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Now, before we read it, let me say one thing to you. Every time you read the word baptism or baptize in the Bible, you don't want to just immediately say, water, because there aren't all water baptisms. In fact, there are many baptisms in the Bible, and we'll see some in our study today, that have nothing to do with water. They're not water baptisms. They're not water ceremonies. But here's a passage that does have to do with water baptism. And notice what Paul says about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 14. I thank God that I water baptized, none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For why was it that Paul was so unconcerned about whether he had baptized anybody or not? For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You know, it's real clear from what Paul says. Christ sent me not to baptize. In other words, Paul's commission from the Lord Jesus Christ did not include the fact that he should go baptize people. You say, well, then why did he baptize some people? Well, that's a good question. You should ask him about that. But the point is that Christ didn't tell him to do it. Then if he did it for some other reason. But whatever the reason was, and we'll see as we go on what it wasn't a part of the commission that Christ gave him to carry out. Well, that being the since water baptism didn't have a part in the program that was committed to us, for us, to Paul. In other words, Christ commits the program for the dispensation of grace to Paul, and what he gives to Paul does not include the practice of water baptism, then it's really quite clear that water baptism doesn't have a part in God's program for the dispensation of grace in which we're living today. It's strange indeed that baptism ever would be a controversy among Christian people, because the place in the Bible that God gives us His instructions for us today, the man in the Bible through whom God gave the revelation of grace, just like He gave the Israel the message of the law through Moses. Moses commanded them. It was God's word through Moses. So the message for today is God's word to us through Paul. In the dispensation of grace, Christ speaking from heaven's glory to us through Paul, and it does not include water baptism. So it's strange that water baptism would ever have been injected into the practice of the Christian church today. Certainly it isn't because we're following Paul. It's a demonstration of the fact that there's a tremendous rebellion against Pauline authority in the church today. in the world today, in Christendom today. And I don't mean just the unbelieving church, the modernistic liberal. I'm talking about people that believe the Bible. I'm talking about the real saved people. There's rebellion against God's word to us through the Apostle Paul. And folks, a failure to recognize the importance of Paul's ministry in the Bible is where the confusion about baptism comes. If you recognize Paul's ministry, you wouldn't be confused about baptism at all. Let me show you why. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in one hand, and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Get two passages. Ephesians 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5. Paul says, "There is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism." Well, now, folks, we practice baptism today. That's important for you to understand. Somebody says, "Well, Brother Jordan, you don't believe in baptism." Oh, yes, I don't believe you can be saved without being baptized. My point to you is that the one Lord, one faith, one baptism, there's only one baptism today, and that baptism is not water baptism. There's only one baptismal program that God has in operation today. Religion has all kinds. They have all kinds of different baptisms, but God only has one in operation today, and it isn't water baptism. You say, "Well, how do you know that?" Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. The way you understand the Bible is you compare verses with verses and let the verses explain what the Bible's teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 13. And notice the passage, 1 Corinthians 12, 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." Now he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there's one body. That is, there's the church, the body of Christ. There's one body. All saved people are placed into that one body. Salvation is ours when Jesus Christ died at Calvary. We're reconciled unto God in one body, Ephesians says, by the cross. You notice the verse doesn't say you're reconciled at the cross. It says you're reconciled by the cross. It's through the instrumentality of the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Jesus Christ died on Calvary. God Almighty made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made sin for me. He literally took our sin on His soul and on His body, and God made His soul, the Father made His soul an offering for our sin, and Jesus Christ bore our sins on His own body on the tree. God Almighty put away sin. Christ put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried, He was raised again the third day, and He ascended into heaven. When you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you trust His death as your death. You rely exclusively upon what God Almighty did for you at Calvary when Jesus Christ died to pay for all of your sins, all of them, everything that's wrong with you. Jesus Christ has already paid for them. You don't have to work. You don't have to go anywhere, do anything, move a muscle, breathe a prayer. There's nothing for you to do. It's all been done. The difference between salvation and religion is religion says, "Do something, do something, do something," and God's Word says salvation is yours because of what has already been done for you at Calvary. "Now to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him that justifieth the ungodly," his faith, resting in the finished work of Christ, is counted for righteousness. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God Almighty counts it as though you shed the blood. That's your death He died. By one Spirit. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God, one of the things God the Holy Ghost does for you, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. When you trust Christ as your Savior, God the Holy Spirit that instant places you in the living union with Christ. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 that you are baptized into Christ, the church, the body of Christ. You're placed into it. How? By one Spirit. We're placed into one body. Notice the verse. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized." Every person that trusts Jesus Christ in the dispensation of the grace of God in which we live today, every person that trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, big ones, little ones, medium-sized ones, religious, irreligious, good, bad, or indifferent, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God Almighty does something. He places you in the living union with His Son by the Spirit, not by the preacher, not by the Lord Jesus Christ, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. I trusted Jesus Christ December 31st, 1962. The moment I trusted Him was about 10 minutes after 8 o'clock in the evening in the city of Mobile, Alabama. I was sitting on an organ bench in a church building. Nobody there but me and the Lord. And I trusted Jesus. I made a decision of my own heart to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trusted Him. And that instant, God Almighty, God's Spirit baptized me into Christ. I didn't feel it. I would have never known about it except somebody showed it to me in the Word of God. Now, folks, every person that's ever trusted Jesus Christ, God Almighty put them into His Son. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And Paul said there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. You got that baptism, if you're saved today, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ. You know what happened to me? I got that baptism by one Spirit into the body, and a preacher came along a couple of days later and told me I needed to get another one. He said, you need to get baptized. And I said, well, okay. And they wanted to take me over here and baptize me with water. Another preacher came along and he said, well, that fellow over there, he was gonna sprinkle you. And you don't bury somebody by sprinkling dirt on the head. You gotta put them all the way under. So now another guy comes along, he says, so you didn't really get baptized when they sprinkle you. You need to be immersed. And you know what happened? A 15-year-old kid like I was, I got confused. I didn't know what was going on. And so I had an opportunity one time to sit down with a man, and I asked him those questions. I said, what am I supposed to do? Is sprinkling it? Is it immersion? What is it? And he said, you know, Rick, let me show you something that God did for you. You know what he did? He showed me those two verses. For by one Spirit are we all baptized. You know, when I trusted Jesus Christ, the mechanics of positional truth, how you get in Christ, by one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. That's wonderful, isn't it? Then he says, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's all there is. You know something? All the religious confusion vanished away because I saw that I'm complete in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, ye are complete in Him. When God Almighty took you and put you into Christ by His Spirit, by the Spirit baptism that He puts, by that one divine baptism, one Spirit, one baptism into the one body, when He did that, when God did that, He made you complete in Christ. Everything you'll ever need, everything God ever has for you, He gave you that instant in Christ. Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Blessed you with all spiritual. You know how many that is? That's all of them. There aren't any you don't have. Where? In Christ. How'd you get in Christ? By one Spirit are we all baptized into Christ. You're baptized into Christ by the Spirit of God. No water ceremony. No preacher doing it. Water baptism hasn't got anything to do with it. Anything a preacher can do, a priest can do, has nothing to do with it. And my friend, you know what that brother asked me? He said, look, if God puts you in Christ and in Christ you're complete, what are you going to get out of a water ceremony? If God Almighty's already made you complete without the water ceremony, what are you going to have with it that you didn't already have without it? You know what I found out? I found out why I didn't need it. I found out that I didn't need a water ceremony. I didn't need a water baptism. I didn't need somebody coming along doing something to me that only made out like what God did wasn't enough. Well, you say, but wait a minute. If we don't, that's why it's not a part of the program today, folks. Because God replaced the water baptism with a Spirit baptism. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. God does that for us the moment we trust Christ. That's why we don't need the water ceremony. That's the one that accomplishes, and in Christ you're complete, you got everything, there ain't anything else to get. Now that's why we don't need the water baptism today. But you say, but wait a minute. Weren't there people in the Bible that needed it? Yes, there were. When Paul says, Christ sent me not to baptize, he's making an absolute distinction between himself and some other people in this Bible. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 28, Matthew chapter 28. The 12 apostles, the kingdom saints, Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry back here, he spent 3.5 years training a group of people back here in the book of Matthew to John. He gathered together what he called a little flock. He gathered together a believing remnant in the nation Israel. He died on the cross. He rose. He ascended into heaven. And during that post-resurrection ministry right there, he commissioned this little flock of people back here to go out when the Holy Spirit came on them on the day of Pentecost, to go out and to carry on the ministry he'd trained them to carry on. And in the early Acts period, that's exactly what they do. When he sent them out in Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, Acts chapter 1, when he sent these people out, he sent them out to practice water baptism. You see, there's an absolute distinction between the ministry over here in Romans through Philemon that Christ later from heaven's glory up here gave to Paul. There's a distinction between this ministry and this ministry in your Bible. Now, I recognize that a lot of religious activity and teaching don't recognize it, but in the Bible, it's there. You have to make up your mind whether or not what the Bible says is what counts in your life. Matthew 28, verse number 19. Go ye. Verse 18, he says, Jesus came and spake unto them, talking about his disciples, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Notice he tells them, go out and baptize all nations. Mark chapter 16, that's Matthew 28. Mark 16, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that is baptized shall be saved. He that is not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. They know about the wrath of God that's going to come out here in the tribulation period. They know about Messiah coming back. They know about the kingdom out here. They've been preaching about it, talking about it, looking forward to it. This man back here in time past, what he's looking forward to is that time period right out there. And he's expecting it. And he's looking for it. And Christ, when he sends his apostles out here, he sends them out to preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin, to get that believing remnant through that wrath and into that kingdom. Come with me to Matthew chapter number 3 and see it work. Folks, when baptism was in the program of God, when it was part of what God's program had to do with, it had to do with God's kingdom nation, the nation Israel. It had to do with them getting through the period of wrath and into that kingdom, being separated and ordained as a kingdom of priests and a holy, a separated, set apart nation. And folks, it flat had to do with salvation in their program. And it was not an option. It wasn't something you could take or leave. It was something you had to participate in. Just like in our dispensation, every believer is baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. So it was every believer back here had to be water baptized by another believer in order to be a part of that little flock and that kingdom nation. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, when he came, he preached to these people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 5, then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Mark chapter number 1, verse 4 says that John preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John preached baptism. Paul said, I wasn't sent to preach it. John was sent to preach it. And it's the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse number 7 in Matthew 3. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John's baptism had to do with fleeing from that wrath to come out there. The man back there in time past looked for a hope out there, a kingdom. A kingdom in which the holy, the righteous, the saved Israelites, the redeemed Israel were going to come and have their position in the kingdom when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of His glory. John is warning these people back there and calling these people to salvation through the wrath into the kingdom. Verse number 11. John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what? fire. Here's a Jesus Christ comes back in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Jesus Christ is going to come back over here at his second advent and destroy the unbelieving with fire and judgment. And the fire goes out of his mouth, and it's kindled the breath of his mouth, Isaiah says, and so forth. So he's going to baptize them with the Holy Ghost here. Pentecost, the believers. He's going to baptize the unbelievers with fire over there. John says, you want to miss that fire baptism? You want to miss that destruction? You want to miss that wrath? Then you better get in this water over here. I'm baptizing you with water. Christ's going to come, baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit baptism. Notice something important about that. Come with me to Acts 2. Who does John say is going to baptize him in Acts chapter 2 with the Holy Spirit? He says, he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He's going to baptize you. You know who's baptizing them here? It isn't God the Holy Spirit baptizing somebody into Christ. It's Christ up here in heaven's glory baptizing some people with the Holy Spirit. Now you better get that. These people are baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. They have a spirit baptism. By Christ with the Spirit. You and I have a Spirit baptism, but it's a different kind of a baptism. By the Spirit into Christ. Now that's easy to see. But the difference between being baptized by Christ with the Spirit and by the Spirit into Christ can be the difference between understanding what's going on in the Bible about baptism and the religious confusion that can come by trying to have two when God said there's only one. Jesus Christ baptizes them with the Spirit. He's going to baptize the unbelievers with fire. Acts chapter 2, notice how Peter in Acts 2 is going right along with an understanding of this. In Acts chapter number 2, Peter says in verse number 37, well, make it verse 34, Acts 2:34. For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. God the Father said to God the Son, come and sit thou on my right hand. So Jesus Christ ascends up into heaven up here. And when he gets up into heaven, he sits down at the Father's right hand up here until I make your foes your footstool. In other words, he's going to sit down up there until the time for him to come back over here and destroy his enemies. Peter says, Christ, you killed him, God raised him, he's sitting at the Father's right hand as an exile, and he's going to come back and pour out his wrath. Verse number 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what should we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Exactly what John told them back here, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now Christ will baptize you with the Holy Ghost also. John told them about that coming. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This generation that the wrath of Almighty God is going to destroy. Save yourself from that generation. How? By being baptized with the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Identified together. You know what water baptism was? It started back here with John the Baptist being preached to Israel. John the Baptist started a Jewish Baptist church, and the door of that church was water baptism, and it was a safety, a salvation group, a safe group, an ark of safety for that nation Israel, that believing remnant, that little flock, to go through the wrath and get into the kingdom over here. When he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that meant water baptism was an absolute necessity. And in this program back here, they were sent to baptize. That's the long and the short of it. Paul said, I'm not sent. It was an integral part of the program being carried on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and in chapter number 10 of the book of Acts, something happened. In Acts chapter 10, Peter is at Cornelius' house. And he's talking to Cornelius, and all of a sudden, verse number 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came to with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as us? You notice that? In Acts 2, you repent, you're baptized, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In Acts 10, it's changed. In Acts 10, baptism all of a sudden doesn't have the same significance that it had in Acts 2. It's not going to function the same way anymore. There's been a change in the program. No longer do you have to get baptized to get the Holy Ghost. Now these people, this Gentile got the Holy Ghost, and then Peter says, well, shouldn't we also baptize him? You say, well, why is there's a change in the program? Anybody want to tell you, you've got to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 38 today. Remind them that in Acts 10, God told the man that said Acts 2:38 to change the program. Why did he change the program? Oh, my friend, between Acts 2 and Acts 10, something happened. The Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory, He, Christ, ascended up far above all heavens, reached down and saved a guy by the name of Saul of Tarsus, raised him up, made him Paul the Apostle, and sent him forth with a new message, a message of grace, a message called the mystery. Paul said, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it's now revealed. A new program, a new ministry, a new message, and a new baptism to go with it. When God set aside Israel, interrupted Israel's program and started something new, the church, the body of Christ, of which we're a part today, He set aside Israel's baptism and He set in operation a new baptism, one that puts us into Christ today and makes us a part of what God's doing in the church, the body of Christ. Folks, water baptism shouldn't be a confusion to you. It was an integral part of Israel's program, and when God set aside Israel, He set aside Israel's baptism. God ordained a baptism for us today. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That'll get rid of the confusion. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like to have you have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, Baptism, Religious TNT. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at the Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request the tape, Baptism, Religious TNT. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. We trust our study together has been a help to you. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is the Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.